This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Cody Franco and Avery Zaretsky. Tough game one. We got a great interview, though, today with former New York Ranger and passionate Ranger fan right now in Sean Avery. So we'll hear his thoughts on game one, what the Rangers should do going into game two. Before we do anything, just want to thank everyone that's tuned in throughout the playoffs that got us into the top five of hockey podcasts in the United States of America. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Absolutely unreal. Top four or three?
Three, baby. Number three.
We're top three, bro.
We took over Jeff Merrick, bro.
Dude,
I didn't know that.
We didn't fucking
yesterday.
Boys.
I didn't see that. So big thank you to all the listeners. We love you guys. You know
it's
that.
Actually we'll crazy.
We'll try to do a communal pod again soon. I know everyone's been asking for that. So we'll get that going. You know, maybe Saturday morning we're gonna do a pod, right? Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Are we? All right,
after game two.
Okay. I'll bring my mic.
Oh, you're going to Hamptons?
Yeah.
Damn. Big Daddy in the Hamptons. Though. That's so sick. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get initial.
Before we get into it,
yeah.
Gotta run through our fun Bet Online ad that Avery's cringing.
Good transition. Way to go. Yeah. Good transition. Go.
So Bet Online, fellas. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from NHL, MLB, golf, NBA. Avery's still trying to crack into the 80s in golf, and who knows if he's ever going to be able to do it. But if you go to Bet Online, you can get all the latest stats, news, scores, follow your favorite teams, odds, lines, whatever you want. Check out the Panthers Rangers lines tomorrow. They probably don't favor us, but hey, Vegas. Anyways, head to the website today and use your mobile device. Get in on the action. Bet Online. Back to the show.
Good job, Cody. So what did you guys think of game one last night? Initial thoughts.
I know Avery probably has a lot to say, so I'm going to sum it up in a very quick two sentences. And it is, they didn't play that great. They need to play harder, stronger, physical, faster if they want to get four wins. That's it.
Yeah, I think that regardless, win or loss, they're not going to win the series against the Florida Panthers if they played the way they did last night. And I think that what I told you guys and what the X factor was for Florida is what the X factor was for in the Rangers' first three games against Carolina, as they limited our second chance opportunities, right? Like, Bob is just on par with Igor this year in terms of goaltending in the playoffs. And I think that what helps is just not giving any second chance opportunities, keeping things to the perimeter. And they did so well in that category against us. So Rangers need to flip the page, go into game two with the same aggressiveness as they had in the third period. I thought they finished pretty strong. They just couldn't get that goal. And I think that once they do get that goal, it'll put them in a better spot. I think that we need to see more from 10. You know, we've had our moments with the top line in terms of what they've been able to do, but they obviously weren't there fully last night. And I just think, I trust Laviolette, right? He's going to make the right decisions, and whatever he does with the lineup in game two is going to be our best lineup, in my opinion. So let's see what happens.
Can I say something, though? Because I think, you know, it wasn't a good game. The Rangers did not play well.
Right.
But with that, they had a lot of grade A scoring chances that did not go in. And I would actually make the argument that the Rangers had the better quality of scoring chances in that game. Like Igor can never say something bad about Igor, right, with how he's played. But those are two goals that he should have had. And listen,
yes,
Mike,
but in the first one, he got screened. Like there's nothing.
It doesn't matter, dude. Doesn't matter. It wasn't really that much of a screen, Cody.
And, you know, obviously, everything can be hypothetical, and like one bounce goes this way, one bounce goes that way. It's a different game, but that's essentially a 1-0 hockey game until like 5 minutes left. And the Rangers did not play well at all. So that should be like somewhat of a positive when you look toward this series that, you know, and again, it wasn't Florida's best either, but the Rangers found themselves in a 1-goal game essentially, and a couple fluky goals go the other way. You know, we're talking about a different story here. So I wanted to make that point that, like, you know, Schneider hits the post. Trocheck on a 2-on-1, domes Bobrovsky. Cooley misses a breakaway. Wenberg misses a wide-open net, which, again, I said what a save by Bobrovsky when I first saw it. And Avery, I think you sent the picture just now in our group chat. I did not realize how bad that miss was.
Yeah, and also to just add to what you said, right, like, I think we can all agree the first 57 minutes of that game until I think it was Verhaeghe who scored that goal. Like that game was winnable, right? Like,
and, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm agreeing with you for once. Yeah. So,
well, I'm agreeing that you agree.
Take your wins, bro. you know, it was a very winnable game. Like, it was not a pretty game at all. The thing that scares me a little bit is the Panthers didn't play that well either, and they got the win. And that's the thing that I would say concerns me a little bit, right? Because
I feel like repeating what I said.
No, just let me talk. It was a very, very boring game for the first pretty much for the whole game, actually, right? And then one guy who had an incredibly rough game was Loft. Like, you know, he hit the post. I would say
it was more unlucky than like
that's what I'm getting to. I'm not saying that's what I'm getting to. He did not have a rough game in the sense of like, oh my god, he played piss poor. He had like bad news bears level rough game, like just. Yeah. Unlucky dude, hit the post, you know, it hits him, goes in the goal. So I think, you know, like you said, a couple bounces went the other way and this team wins that game. So I think there's a lot of positives to take going into game two in a game where we didn't show many positives, right? So
I don't know if there's a lot of positives to take.
I think there is. I mean, okay.
Go.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think we showed that like, they play bad, we play bad, whatever. We could skate with them. It was a 1-goal game to the end. Like that 3-0 score doesn't showcase what the actual game could have equated to. You know, I just feel like Igor, like, yes, okay, he probably, I disagree on the screen. He obviously should have had the other one, but regardless, he kept us in the game the whole time. And as Avery said, nobody is going to get a win if you play like that, and you can't not score and expect to win a game. I mean, I'm tricking Johnny again with my yogiisms. He gets so confused.
Can't lose games in the NFL and still win.
Exactly. No, it's
Jay Glazer.
It's the truth. Yeah. No, it's actually Yogi Berra.
What was that quote? You can't not score and expect to win.
Well, yeah. I think that was Jay Glazer said that the NFL.
Yeah.
One. No, Cody, I understand what you're trying to say. I just think that we definitely had the better of the scoring opportunities. The one that everyone was like, oh, what a save. Another one was Mika pops out and he gets the one timer, but he shoots into his pad. Right. I just think that they didn't really test Bob as much as they could have. And
definitely.
It's definitely a credit to the Panthers defense. They did such a good job at clearing those second chance opportunities. I sound like a broken record, but it's true. Like if you're not getting to the greasy areas, if you're not crashing the net, there's just no chance of getting the puck past Bob. And I think that's where the issues stem from for the Rangers. And it's also just doing the simple things, right? Like I listened to a little bit of what Laviolette said this morning, and it wasn't really much, right? It was just a little simple things like get the puck deep. There was one play where Miller, you know, he has the opportunity to clear the red line and get it into the zone. And he kind of pulls it back and then loses the puck. It's just like, make the simple plays, You can beat them the way we've been playing all year. Don't try to be more than what we're not, right? We've gotten this far. Yeah. Eastern Conference Finals. Just get it done the right way.
Yeah. Let's get into some fan questions because we don't have a ton of time on today's show. We're going to spend most of the time talking to Sean Avery. So let's go into fan questions, which are brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Ranger fans, we are – oh, nope, that's the wrong ad read. Let me go get the other one. Someone say something. Fill the space.
You can just cut this.
I've got it. All right. Fan questions are brought to you by Breakaway Payments. Ranger fans, if you own a business or work at a company that accepts credit cards as a form of payment, then listen up. Breakaway Payments has a payment processing solutions for retail and e-commerce businesses, custom integrations, and more. Email fellow Rangers fan Brett@breakawaypayments.com or visit their website, www.breakawaypayments.com. That's www.breakawaypayments.com. Breakaway Payments will save your business a ton of money on those dreaded credit card processing fees. Let's go, Rangers. All right, so let's get into some fan questions. And as you could have expected, which we will talk to Sean Avery about pretty much right off the bat. And this is from Michael Orrent. What is your response to all the people saying Rempe needs to be in? I think no on him, he says.
I see the argument for both, man. I know what he brings to the MSG crowd. The Rangers didn't win game five when he was in the lineup when they needed to win. And then they go out and win game six when he's also not in the lineup, right? But I also trust Laviolette's coaching decisions. He knows what's best for this team. He's the one who's coached them all year, right? He knows what goes on in the locker room. He knows all this. So let him make the decision. I do think that he helps, but it also hurts in the fact it's like you play him and then you have 11 forwards the rest of the way for he plays 5 to 6 minutes a game. So there's a flip side, but I just don't know, man. You need to score, and the Rangers having no goals, I really don't know how much Matt Rempe brings to that, but I also understand what he does bring. So
I'm glad you said all that, Avery, and I'm glad you said they need to score and he helps, but he doesn't, because that's, you know, I'm going to say something that makes you mad. I kind of feel the same way about Kaapo Kakko, and I think if we're talking about removing a guy, which Laviolette probably won't have the guts to do, I would put Rempe in for Kaapo Kakko, because I'm not taking out VC. I think he's playing pretty well. I'm not taking out Hedl. There's just no way in hell, and I think from a standpoint of like how Kakko's played to date, and I'm not ragging on him by any means. I'm just talking from a completely logical standpoint. If they put in Rempe, if they choose not to, totally fine. Leave it as it is. But if they're like, Matt Rempe needs to get in the lineup for game two, the guy I'm taking out is Kakko, and that's solely based on the fact that I don't think he's performed how he should to date. And if he's not giving us goals, which he's supposed to be this goal scorer, right? I think we can all agree to that. He's supposed to be this goal scorer. Then they have to do something to ignite the team. And if you're going to try and bully a tough Florida team, that's who I'm taking out. That's my logic.
Johnny, before you go, is Kakko? Yeah. I mean, pre-draft, yeah, but at this point in his career, is Kakko really supposed to be the goal scorer?
No, more of a
powerful
possession,
powerful
playmaker, power forward.
No, I think
we don't even know what he is, to be honest.
Nobody's looking at Kaapo Kakko and saying, this guy's a fucking playmaker. He's literally supposed to be a goal scorer. That's who he is. Who is he if he's not a goal scorer? Like, who is he? He was looked at as a power forward type guy.
At this point, he's a defensive two-way forward good job.
Oh yeah, dude.
You need that in the playoffs, though. I thought the third line didn't play bad at all yesterday.
Punch me in
They had the first good shift of the game. They had a pretty strong like 40-second offensive zone pressure shift, but then later in the first period, they had a really bad shift against the Panthers' fourth line where they dominated. Let me say my Rempe piece quick.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Or is this about the third line?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, if your third line isn't giving you goals, you like it's fine if one or two aren't, but you have Wennberg. So like you need somebody to produce that's not in your top six. Like, you just have to. And the fourth line's not going to do it. So to me, like, and listen, if obviously Rempe's not the guy to freaking produce, I think we can all agree to that, but like, at least they'll give them a spark. Like, that's just my take on it, man.
So we'll get into this more with Sean Avery. Maybe actually we'll do some more fan questions with Sean Avery. We can kind of, you know, feel the temperature on that one, see if he would take some, but
Sean Avery mean tweets.
Yeah. I think, if you watch last night's game, whether you're in the building or not, you can't actually argue that Rempe wouldn't have had an impact on that game. Like just his overall presence would have done something, because also, and you look at the ice time of the guys, like Will Cooley last night played 7 minutes and 45 seconds. Like Matt Rempe would probably get around that same amount of ice time. And, you know, Cooley is solid. Like I like Will Cooley's game a lot, but I think Rempe could have had just as much, if not more of an impact in that game with that ice time. Mm-hmm. No, but again, like to talk about why he didn't play, I think from a strategical standpoint, Laviolette may have looked at this game and said, listen, it's game one of a series. The emotions are going to be at their highest against a team that likes to stir shit up, which they didn't do, by the way. The Florida Panthers did not do anything post-whistle. Like, there were no scrums. It was all in between the whistles the entire game. So, if anything, you could have had Rempe there to throw Florida off of their game by kind of stirring it up. You know, I think Florida likes to do that from time to time, but against a team that has such a good power play like the Rangers, it was a conscious effort to not do anything to put themselves in the box. Back to Rempe. I think had you thrown him out there just for one shift to get the puck behind the Panthers D and throw the body, it changes a lot. Like the Rangers, that's what they struggled with the most last night. They were not connected in all three zones. They couldn't get the puck from the D zone through the neutral zone in deep, and they weren't even able to establish a forecheck. Like the difference in the two teams' forechecks last night were insane. Florida would get it behind the Rangers D. They'd throw the body. They'd get it back. They'd sustain offense. The Rangers didn't do any of that. Like you said, Avery, it was all one and done. So you got a guy like Rempe who all he looks to do is chip the puck in. He's not trying to make plays. He chips the puck in. He throws the body. The building gets loud, and that's great. But also, again, like the other side of this too, I see the fans and I hear the fans that are like, we shouldn't need a fucking player to throw a hit in the Eastern Conference Finals to get the fans on their feet, right? It's Madison Square Garden. It shouldn't take that to get you excited. But there are moments in the game where Florida just controls it, and it's hard to really, like, you know, cheer or whatever, you know, like the loudest the building got in that game was when Trouba threw the hit on Stenlin, and then the Rangers came down and had a couple chances. Like Trouba made the play, you know, he throws that big hit, the crowd wakes up. So
yeah,
I think if you know you have a weapon, and oh, I didn't even make the point. So the
we're
point
spending
that I was actually,
so much time on this question, I know, holy shit,
I know,
dude.
But the original point I wanted to make of why maybe he sat was that sometimes you don't know how a game one's gonna go, and it could have been very high emotion. Rempe could have like fed off that and maybe thrown a bad hit or taken a five. And then, you know, Florida has all that momentum and whatnot. And I think this just allowed him to see it and feel it. And now if he gets thrown into game two, he knows what he's getting himself into. That's all I'll say on that.
No, I think it meant it. There was a reason why we spent a lot of time on that question.
Yeah. Because it's being talked about nationally. So
yeah, it's the number one question going into game two.
Let's get the emotional level up. They're playing. It seems to me they're playing a little bit careful, too just conservative. They got to get themselves emotional. Maybe they should think about having Rempe in the lineup. Because I'm not questioning the coach right now, but I am saying that he does get in on the forecheck. He does ground and pound. He does get the crowd involved, and the players seem to follow that kind of mindset. But right now, they're kind of just playing, in my opinion, just a little too careful.
Yep.
Okay. Next one. We can go to Mike Canizaro, and this is kind of similar. Was at the game yesterday. Our fans need to stop booing. Sound like a bunch of bitches. What do you guys think?
It was weird. It only sounded like there was legit one fan on the broadcast booing.
Yeah. I don't think the boos were that bad, but yesterday, I like that's a game where I don't think you boo the team. Like it's a one goal game.
Agreed. And the boos weren't that bad, but you know what?
Did you your mic just unplugged, I think, Cody?
He's unplugged his mic because he's fidgeting with it.
Yeah, why are you playing with it?
Idiot. Stop playing with your mic, you child. It's still
stupid
muted, buddy.
Idiot. We still can't hear you, dumbass.
Idiot.
Plug your mic in.
Plug it in, bro.
This is not getting cut out.
Nope.
Connect it in the settings.
No, I hit the mute button on the mic, you fucking stupid morons. But listen to me. What I was saying,
we're the morons, right?
Yeah, you are, dude, because I was making a great point and you're just fucking talking about Capo Caco being your second girlfriend and I'm done with it. So listen, no, I love you. I don't even remember the point I was going to make because Johnny was talking for so fucking long.
No, you literally were talking and then you unplugged your mic.
What was I saying?
I wasn't even listening, to be honest.
Yeah.
The booing.
Oh, no. All I was going to say was, don't know.
All right, cool.
Don't fucking know what I was gonna say.
Great point.
Yes.
All right. Next one. We got like time for like maybe one or two more. Connor Haggerty. Is that what dominating looks like. In my opinion, letting them hang around isn't dominating.
Yeah, and I know what I was going to say. The ESPN was terrible. That's what you should have booed. The stream was awful. All the mouths were off. I felt like I was watching a fucking dubbed movie.
Why would the people at the game boo the TV when they're not watching the TV?
No. I'm saying me and Avery should have booed them. I'm saying the fans should have booed them.
No, just what was the question, Johnny?
Is that what dominating the New York Rangers looks like? In my opinion, letting the Rangers hang around isn't dominating. I agree. I don't think Florida dominated. I think Florida smothered them. There's a difference.
Yeah, no, Carolina dominated the Rangers in some games, but I don't think that the Rangers looked dominated last night. We talked about it. They had some really good scoring opportunities that they just didn't execute on. Completely different game if Schneider puts the puck in the net. You just never know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, last one, Teshiv. Toxic positivity. This will go right to Avery. Are we going to do what Tampa did to us times two and lose the first few, then win the Eastern Conference Final?
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen, right? I was so annoying and cocky when the Rangers went up 2-0 on Tampa. I thought they were going straight to the Stanley Cup Final. I thought they were might have even swept the Tampa Bay Lightning. But it's just the way everything happens, right? They go out and then they lose four straight. You know, the Rangers could split. They could win both in Florida. Anything could happen. It's just a matter of time and chance, right?
Like I think it would make us all feel a lot better if they split at home, knowing that they're a very strong home team and Panthers are a very strong road team. That said, I also fully understand there's going to be an immense New York presence in Florida. Half of New York lives in Florida, as Avery's living proof of that. So, you know, I think it's not as much of a road game as people think in games 3 and 4. That said, I would love to take a win tomorrow night.
It just goes back to what we've been talking about, right? There's more pressure to win at home. We know that.
Yeah.
We set the standard last series, Rangers in 6, right? They go up 3-0. Everybody's like, oh, now they're going to sweep. And then they lose game 5, and everyone's like, now we're nervous, right? So we lose game 1. We can't lose the ultimate goal of, I mean, I said Rangers in 6, but you guys said Rangers in 7. No matter how it happens, it's going to happen. It's the team of destiny. Just ride the wave, right? It's unfortunate they lost game 1. Let's go take care of game 2 and see what happens in Florida. But right now, you can't panic. You cannot hit the panic button. Just because the pressure's on for game 2 doesn't mean that the series is any bit over. We know
to that point, last fan question we'll do before we get to Sean Avery. Is game 2 a must win? Because I feel like it'll be one. That is from Matt Freitas 30.
I said this to you guys in the chat. I mean, I think it's as close to a must win as it's going to get, right? You want to feel very good. It changes the entire momentum of the series. If you come out there tomorrow night to play and get a win, you don't even need to play amazing. You just need to play better than the fucking Panthers do. And you know, I think it'll change the dynamic of the series. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. I think it is a must win.
I'm going to say it's not a must win. I'm also going to say it's not a can't lose. No, I'm going to say it's not a can't lose. I'm actually going to say it's a just please.
Okay, you fucking weirdo.
Avery?
Yeah, mine's going to be a preferably win.
Okay. Avery? Yeah. Dude, the Rangers could lose games 1-3, 9-0, 7-0, and 14-2, and Avery would be like, yeah, we're fine. We're fine, guys. Like, and I
think it happened. You know,
I respect it. I respect it.
How many happen if you just believe?
All right, let's send it to
times,
Sean.
How many times have we seen this? You know, it just
yeah.
Let's
all
send
right,
it to
let's
Sean.
Send it over but, Sean Avery.
But first,
Avery.
Oh yeah, I would love before we go to Sean Avery, close friend of mine. I would love to talk about Melon. I'm rocking the hat right now. Cody's got the Melon hats. He loves Melon hats. Johnny's got his Melon hat. And they are the best in the game. My cousin actually just bought one using the code Blue Crew. If you go to melon.com/Blue Crew, you will get 30% off your order. They don't do it much. They rarely offer discounts. So don't miss this opportunity. The code expires June 1st. So go over to melon.com/Blue Crew. Use the code Blue Crew for 30% off your purchase. These hats are amazing. They're built to last 5 times longer than any other hat. They have antimicrobial properties, so sweat does not break down the hat. That's a huge thing for me because if you know my hat goes in the water and then the structure breaks down, it's just the absolute worst. I don't want to wear it ever again. But the structure on these hats is the best in the business. They have the most comfortable fit. They have all different styles, small, classic, XL. If you go to their website, melon.com, go to the fit finder, it'll tell you exactly what size you need. So once again, melon.com/bluecrew, use the code bluecrew for 30% off your purchase. Code expires June 1st.
Who needs better? Who needs better? Melon, please hire my friend.
Listen, if someone's going to send me their product and I love it, I will say wonders for them. I love Melon. I truly do. I wear it out all day.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every day.
And with that, let's kick it over to Sean Avery. On today's episode of the Blue Crew, I don't want to waste any time with an introduction because we only got 14 minutes with him. So let's get right into it. Ranger legend, the Quick Shift podcast host, actor on Lioness on Paramount Plus, the legend himself, Sean Avery. Sean, what's going on? You're glowing right now, by the way, dude.
Gentlemen, you know, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Everybody should book a cameo instead of sending me DMs. I don't have fucking time to respond to all these DMs. Everybody's freaking out.
I love it.
Time
I love
seems
it.
To be of the essence. So Cody has a question before we get into any hockey. Cody, tell you.
Yeah. So Johnny mentioned obviously Lioness. Last year you were on our show. Big Taylor Sheridan guy. I wanted to plug your show, Lioness. It was great. What's new? What do you got in the pipe that you can share? any new exciting shows for a guy who needs fucking TV in his life or what?
Yeah, I think I'm going back on Lioness. I think they just started. So yeah. And then, I don't know. Yeah, there's all kinds of shit. There's all kinds of stuff. But no, I think the next thing, I just got to crack the Taylor verse like full time. But dude, I auditioned for Lioness 2 weeks ago. I'm already in the show. You know, this is a crazy business, you know? So that was the first time for me that I've already been in a show and then I had to audition for it again. You just go. You just go until you're on set.
All right, Ace. Let's get into it. Listen, yeah. I know you and I text back and forth. You were a Tampa Bay Lightning fan the first time I met you, talking shit to me, actually. And now you're back on the Rangers wagon. I love to see it. You know, we always have a good conversation. But right into it. You put out a clip about Matt Rempe needing to be in the lineup for game one. He ends up not getting in. And the argument you hear a lot from the anti-Rempe crowd is that he doesn't put up any points. He only plays 6 minutes a game. But from your experience, what does a guy like him add to the locker room on the ice and off the ice that a fan like that might not understand or see from their perspective?
Well, let's just say that a fan like that doesn't know anything about the game.
They just yeah, Cody.
Okay.
Let's settle down.
We have, I don't know, five players since I've understood what the Garden is that have the ability to have their name chanted. Like, they just know how to do it. You know what I mean? Some of those guys were, I think Kobe was that guy. Like, there's been road guys that have been able to do that. Rempe's one of those guys. Henrik, Zuccarello, Igor now. That is the sauce that, like, you know, first of all, people don't even understand what that feels like personally, but I know what it does to a team. And Rempe shouldn't be playing more than 4 minutes a night because Panarin and Mika, Kreider, those guys should be eating up more minutes. We're in the conference finals. Like, they got 10 games to go. They can empty their gas tanks now. You can ride those guys. Like, I watched Steve Yzerman. They rode that legend in 2002. Like, it's time now. So if Rempe plays 4 minutes, those are the best 4 minutes that anyone on that team could play in that position. And they can't bring what he brings. And I'm going to tell you guys this right now. I'm so much smarter than everyone. It's not
humbly.
I love it.
It's when it comes to the game, everything else. No, I'm, you know, I don't know a lot. The Florida Panthers have 95% predominantly European decor with the exception of Montour.
Yeah.
Where's Ekblad from?
I believe he's Canadian.
Polish descent of some sort. I don't know.
Whatever. Fuck it. Keep going.
Okay. Dump the fucking puck in when you get to the red line. Dump the puck in every single time you get to the red line, because the cross ice passes, the fancy stuff, the Rangers have relied on power plays. They need to score 5-on-5 goals. Dump the puck in. Dump the puck in. Because if you don't, they'll turn it around like Kachuk's first goal before you even know what's going on.
Yeah. Aves, the question I wanted to ask too, like, you know, this Florida team, they're a team that likes to muck it up after the whistle. Last night, the game was played a lot in between the whistles. And I asked Paul Maurice in the post game if that was a conscious effort. Obviously, you don't want to put the Rangers on the power play. So, you know, they made it a focus to be mature. And I love that, by the way, to be mature and to not, you know, stir it up after the whistle, but it seems like there was no one that wanted to do that even on the Rangers side. So if you throw Rempe in, are you now having Rempe throw Florida off their game as opposed to Florida doing that to throw the Rangers off their game? Because they didn't really do it.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. And you're also trying to get your guys fucking get them greased, get them feeling it, get the juices going. When they hear a building chant a guy's name, you hear that when Igor has made a big save or numerous big saves, you know. So, no, he's got to play. He's got to play. Like, I'm telling you, 94 is all about storytelling. You had guys like, you don't remember guys like Noonan and Tikkanen and like fabric guys that were legends in the NHL. If you don't think Rempe is special, then I don't know what to say to you, because like, no one's ever done what that kid did in a short amount of time.
Insane.
He came in and stormed it.
Yeah.
You have to put Florida on their heels. You have to put those D-men on their heels. And if I see Roslovich or whatever his name is, I don't even know, turn off of a check when you got Ekman-Larsson lined up. Goodrow, bro, you got to get out of quicksand too. You got to get your feet moving. Like, their bottom six is not great. And if Wheeler can play and Rempe can play, take fucking Kaapo Kakko out.
We just had this discussion. Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I want to piggyback off that. And obviously, being in a playoff hockey game, the pressure is already incredibly high. Rangers lost last night. You know, they're down 1-0. You've been in this type of position multiple times throughout your career, right? So what do you think they need to do to not only compete tomorrow night, but really get the win?
They got to take over the game, like 5-on-5. That's all they should be focused on.
Yeah.
How do we take this game over 5-on-5? And it's so simple. And teams don't do it enough because coaches give their guys too much. The creativity, like, it's so difficult this time of year. It'll come, but wear the team down the first two games. Like, that was the mentality back in the day. I remember Brendan Shanahan. I remember in Detroit, that was sort of the thing. Like, we might need to burn a game because all we do is just lay pucks into one certain corner because we want to fucking kill Brian Rafalski. We want to make sure Brian Rafalski is so banged up by game three that we can take over the series. It's not just what's in front of you right now, today. These guys have to understand that. It's right there. Just dump the puck in. They got European defensemen. Like, Europeans aren't the same as they used to be, but they're not Canadians. They're not Americans. They're not North Americans. You know, they're not Swedes. You don't even find that many Swedish defensemen. Lidstrom, Hedman, like, kill those guys. Kill those guys. Every fucking shift. And the big kid, Willie Coyle. Bro, you gotta find your game, kid. If you play 6 minutes a night, you gotta fucking figure out what you're doing and just don't kill the clock. You got 6 minutes in the playoffs is like at MSG. That's an unbelievable opportunity for anyone.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that this team obviously is built to win, right? We know that they got through Carolina, one of the toughest tests, and now you get to a team where they got a guy like Matt Tkachuk, a full-on superstar. If you were playing against Matt Tkachuk, what would you do to get him off his game? Because he looks like he has it right now. And what do the Rangers need to do?
I mean, well, first of all, you need the guy to do it, all right? Yeah. I mean, listen, could Panarin do it? Like, I remember doing it against Kovalchuk, and he did it right back to me. It was just, I was never going to stop, and finally he fucking snapped. So somebody's got to go at him and say, I am going to, every time you turn around, I'm going to be in your face. He'll snap. Like, he will, because that's just the type of player he is, and the team might feed off of that. But you got to go, somebody's got to, you can't let this guy just run around roughshod. I saw that tweet this morning. Somebody, Heat Daddy? Who is this Heat Daddy?
Oh, he's the funniest fucking guy. He's so funny.
He's funny.
Yeah.
His tweet about Tkachuk is one of the greatest. It was like Shakespearean. It was just incredible.
I'm buddies with him. I'll send him this. It's fucking hilarious.
Trudging around with his dirty boots, like walking through the house. The guy's an animal. Look at his dad. His dad was a savage. His dad was a savage. He had two kids that are fucking savages. Like, we could have a whole podcast on just being a savage dad. Tkachuk, obviously. But yeah, man, you got to go at that. You got to go at him because he's really good. Holy shit.
Aves, I got like two more for you, if that's okay. I know we're kind of running low on time here, but the one I wanted to ask, you know, the really important one I wanted to ask, you touched on it, and I don't even count the goalies. I don't count Igor or Hank in the Garden chance just because they're goalies, and I think goalies get that around the league. Like, you don't really see skaters getting it. But as someone who had their name chanted, like, I think a big concern with Laviolette and with playing Matt Rempe right now is just the fact that he's young and has to control his emotions. Like, the worst thing that could have happened last night is he's thrown into that series and he throws a dumb hit, takes a 5 minute game misconduct. You know, they go on the power play. But what were guys telling you when your name was being chanted and you came back to the bench? Because we asked Rempe all the time in the scrums and everything, and only he can really give that answer. But you went through it for so many years. He's just now going through it for the first time. Like, do you remember sitting on the bench, you know, the first couple of times you heard your name called? Like, what was Shanny saying? What was fucking Jágr saying to you, Dubinsky? Like, it must have been crazy, those conversations.
listen, no matter what, it depends on who it was. Like, I'm sure Dubinsky, it was, you know, a fucking eye roll. And Doobie's such an egomaniac that he, I know that that would get Doobie going, because he's like, because Doobie occasionally, the Doobie chance,
yeah,
every once in a while, he would take over a game.
Yeah.
So there's end a situation where it just motivated the guy beside me because he wants his fucking name chanted too, you know? Or, but I'll tell you, Rempe had a shift last series, the game that he played, the last game that he played, where he made a play up the wall. He made a nice play. It was a touch play. He kind of chipped it up the wall, and he got in on the forecheck. I saw the shift. I know that the kid can play in this environment. It's not that hard. Get the puck, move it fucking forward 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And take 30-second shifts. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's going to play. Mm-hmm. I think he's playing.
Yeah. It's a weapon they have that they have to utilize, right?
Yep.
It's just a matter of who you're taking out. And yeah. I think, you know, I'm in line with you. I think it's got to be Kako or somebody of that status, but we'll see.
Did you guys watch the Hank documentary?
In the middle of it right now, actually.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the guy's garage?
Yeah, it's sick. So sick.
He's what is special. He fucking Batman? Who's got a garage like that in New York City? I've never seen anything like it.
No.
It's the sickest garage ever.
Sean, I do have one more for you. Avery, did you have one more?
No, go ahead.
Just the last one. And this is actually, we have a lot of like listeners who submit questions to the show, and we always try to answer their questions. But this one's from Maddie Moran. He's a loyal listener to our show, actually came to our like viewing party, and he wanted to ask you one. This is what Maddie Moran said. What do you think is being said amongst the guys on the team today? As a guy who's been in the room for playoff runs, is there anything you wish you said in those moments or wish was said to you?
Yeah, just relax. I went to lunch with Shanny. We ate at Nello, like on the Upper East Side. And he was so relaxed. And I was a fucking bag of nerves. Couldn't eat. And this guy's like doing a crossword puzzle. And he was just like, man, you got to be relaxed, bro. You got to be relaxed.
Yeah. I mean, they all say like one day at a time. But that's like really what it is, right? It's you can't win four games in one night.
You can't win four games in one night. Very, very good. Well said. Well said. All right, guys. Good job.
All right.
You're doing great.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Let's go Rangers. Pop Van sucks. Fatso forgot to shake my hand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks, James. Have a good one.
See ya.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Let's just keep going. That was fucking awesome. Cody, I know you got to hop.
Later, homies.
Avery, do you want to do some more fan questions or do you want to – what's your
vibe? Let's do a couple more. A
couple more?
Yeah, okay. That was awesome, by the way. Shout out Sean Avery. You know, he's busy right now. He's got a lot going on, Full Send Hockey. He's doing his quick shift pod, and for him just to hop on for a little bit and talk. And he makes great points. I mean, he's been in the locker room for these moments. He's played it at the world's most famous arena. He knows more than any of us, and he made some really good points. And I think that if you don't think Rempe should be in the lineup, that was a clear indicator on why he should be. Yeah. So,
and Cody was right. I forgot to ask him to shout out my sister and my brother-in-law.
Yeah,
shout out. My mind. I'll shout them out myself though. My sister had her second baby this morning. His name is Benjamin Max. We're calling him Benny. I wanted Sean Avery because he said the cameo thing, right? So I was gonna say, like, can you just give my brother-in-law a shout out on here? I don't want to go on your cameo and have to pay for it, but totally slipped my mind. But big thank you to Sean Avery and Avery Zaretsky, kudos to you for getting him on. I know you guys are buddies, so that was pretty cool. But this next one from Natty Maddie 98. What is the identity of this Rangers team? Physical, fast, skill seems a bit in the middle.
Yeah, I think they're just so well balanced.
I was going to say well rounded.
There's nothing much more to it. Just a really well rounded hockey team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Weird thing just happened there. Mark Schiraldi, Wheeler for Roslovic, Rempe for VZ. Next game changes. Had our chances to win. Need game two. I guess let's like shift that around and just ask you, like, if you're making the lineup for game two, what's it going to be? And then we'll end on this question.
Yeah. Okay. So I think top line, it's tough, but I think you keep it the same. I think you give Roslovic one more game to, against this team and just see what happens. Keep the top line or the second line is what you call it, Lafreniere, Panarin. And I think if it gets to the point where you need to put Panarin on the top line and kind of mix it up a little bit, which Laviolette was doing, he actually put Hedl up there too, which I saw.
Yeah.
And you do that. And then I think you even keep the third line and then you just swap VZ for Rempe. Yeah.
Wait, okay. So say it again.
You basically like, keep every. Honestly, I did so much analysis. Just swap VC for Rempe. That was it. That's okay. My one change.
Okay. And you keep Roslovic with Kreider and Zibanejad.
One more game.
No, you're keeping Wheeler out.
Yeah, for now.
Okay. I want to say there's room for Wheeler to go in because he's a big body. You know, can play the net front. He keeps it simple. I know he's not the fastest, but he'll chip pucks in and go get them.
You're throwing him in game two.
I don't really know. I'm thinking. My
one thing.
Like,
one thing before you go.
Yeah.
Last night's game didn't really feel like a playoff game. Like I also think
the emotion wasn't really there.
Yeah, I'm contradicting myself a little bit because I almost feel like Wheeler would be fine going in. So
yeah,
if there is, I guess if there is a spot to put him in, you just swap him for Roslovic, but I don't know.
I'm not saying this is like definitive, but I'd be curious to see Kreider, Zibanejad, Wheeler, Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, Cooley, Wenberg, Hedl, or Cooley, Hedl, Roslovic, maybe. No, Cooley, Wenberg, Hedl, and then who do I have in the fourth? Who am I missing right now? Gaudreau.
You're missing. You're probably scratching Kako. And
I'm scratching Kako.
So then it'll be Rempe, Gaudreau, and VZ.
Maybe I'm scratching Kako and Roslovic. I don't know. It's tough.
It's really tough.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, though.
Great problem. There's so many players that can slot in.
I think it is obvious, and we can wrap on this. I think it is obvious that you throw Rempe in there for game two.
And yeah, I think all the points have been made now.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Great show today. We'll be back. I think we're going to record Saturday morning, so after game two. We might have Michael Delzato hop on. Not sure just yet. But thank you for all the loyalty. Thank you for listening. We love you, and Avery, send it off.
LFGR, baby. Let's go.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.